Welcome to the Tune In Game In Podcast. Game In Podcast. Tuning in to the gaming world of retro and modern. Retro and modern.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Tune In Game Podcast. This is episode 76. I'm one of your hosts, Nick, Retro Nick, and joining me tonight is Warren.
Hello, hello, and hello.
Yeah, and Gaz won't be with us tonight. He had a little bit of football injury earlier, so he's just recovering from that.
Oh my!
Yeah, but it should be fine though. So we'll probably have him on next time. But just advance notice, I don't think we'll be having a podcast episode next Sunday, but because I'll be going on a little trip to London that day. So probably won't be back in time to do that. But unless we organise to do it another day,
yeah,
then. We'll see how it goes anyway. I'm sure we'll try and do something in the meantime, maybe, but, yeah, we'll just, see how it goes.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, but just before going to the main topic for tonight's episode, I think we should also mention that Microsoft have announced their interest in virtual reality now.
Oh, you didn't see that last time? I thought we said that. Yeah, Microsoft is doing one too. They remember, they have patents they pulled back in February.
Well, I think it was officially now just this week from what I remember anyway.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't hear that.
Because I think we talked about Microsoft eventually jumping on the bandwagon, and sure enough, shortly after talking about it, they've officially announced it, I think, so.
Oh, okay.
So expect a virtual reality headset for the Xbox One in the future, and possibly maybe for the PC as well, because Microsoft also is a big competitor in the PC computer market.
Uh-huh.
So, potential crossovers there, perhaps. So someone on a PC or Windows 8 computer could perhaps communicate with someone on the Xbox One VR headset that they make. I mean, that's a possibility anyway.
Yeah.
But whether it'll work or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, it's definitely setting up for the VR wars, I'd say, because you've got the Oculus Rift, you've got Sony's headset, and now you've got Microsoft interested in doing it as well.
Mhm. Yeah, that's interesting. It's
going to
be interesting.
Yeah, and it's just Nintendo now, but whether they'll focus on that, I doubt it. Probably not for now, anyway. They might focus on next gen.
Yeah.
But again, we're assuming probably next time we do the podcast, we'll probably be talking about Nintendo doing virtual reality headsets or doing some sort of form of virtual reality coming back on Virtual Boy 2.
Yeah, I already said that joke. I already said no. No. I mean, remember, we have the 3DS. So what the heck's 3DS? Virtual reality, right there. We don't need glasses for 3DS. They can combine. If the Nintendo did it right, what I thought they were gonna do, but they didn't do it, was I thought they were gonna combine the 3DS with the Wii. That's what I thought. And then they just kicked out this thing called a Wii U, and then brought the tablet with a camera on it. And I'm like, oh, why? You have a user base that's already there with console in hand playing WiiWare games that are crap, but at the same time, it has GameCube back compatibility, which keeps people like myself happy, because I don't even play Wii games on my Wii. But, you know, they already have the VR thing. You don't need to wear a helmet. You just hold your 3DS in front of the TV, and you get to see it. And I don't know if you played Bravely Default, which I recommend that on your 3DS, the demo, play it, and download that one card that comes with it, and you'll see why Nintendo doesn't really need to put anyone into a VR helmet, because that card is exactly what I wanted from a handheld VR game, where it's like right there in front of you, literally. So, but you know, if they do it, you know, I will say I'm gonna say biasedly, since I've experienced the Virtual Boy, I wouldn't be too giddy about it like I was with the Virtual Boy. But if they did it, hey, that'd be a surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible. Whether they will do or not is yet to be seen. I mean, mostly for the Virtual Boy, it was more like for 3D rather than actual virtual reality based games. I mean, I'm sure some games made you feel like you're actually there, but for the most most part it was mostly like a 3D effect.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad, but then when you market it as virtual reality and it's actually more 3D based gaming, then it does put some people out because they're thinking, why go say it's virtual reality when only a few games show virtual reality capabilities?
Right, exactly, and that's why I'm not thrilled. But that's the reason why I'm on the side of Oculus Rift, because, like Gaz has said, you know, he's played with all of them, and he knows the good things and the bad things. What could happen? What will we want to happen? You know, you're going to want to have stereo earphones on it, so when you're playing the game, if you're playing against a friend and they're an ogre, you're going to want to hear them talking, so saying, hey, Nick, what's going on? You'd be want to hear, hey, Nick, what's going on? You know, automatically, not with me going, hey, Nick, what's going on? It's actually a voice modulator. And that's just a small little aspect of it. But also the screen lag, when you snatch your head around, like say me and you and him are fighting a dragon, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe I might cast a spell and make something go poof, and you'll sense it and everything, but you'll snatch your head and look at me, but if the screen is lagging, your eyes know what it sees in front of it, whether it's seeing it or not, and that calls the one thing, I'm not sure if you looked at Oculus Rift, but they had a few things about a thing called motion sickness, and they say they minimized that, so that's great. But, you know, we'll see.
We'll see, yep. So but, that's all we know at the minute. Microsoft's into virtuality now, but how they'll approach it is yet to be seen. I mean, they've got the Kinect already built, bundled with the Xbox One, so with PS4 you need the camera to actually use a VR, so I suppose in that way Microsoft have the advantage of already having the stuff you need. You just need the headsets or whatever they decide to do to actually play VR games.
Yeah, Oculus Rift is one whole package. You can play on Xbox 360, Xbox One, PC, PS4. If we had something, it'd probably play on, well, I wouldn't say that because they have a USB connector, so you probably could play Wii. I know they have old Nintendo games playing on Oculus Rift. I know that. Yeah. And 3D at that. So, you know, I saw the first person Oculus Rift Zelda, and it looked awesome. Granted, it was a demo and it wasn't complete. It looked great, you know. So, that's the benefits of Oculus Rift. It can go anywhere, unlike Xbox and PS4.
Yeah, well, again, it's something I have to say, because I'm unless Microsoft and Sony decide to limit what the Oculus Rift can work with, then there shouldn't be any problems with Oculus Rift, just on the pricing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it would be a dumb decision if they didn't allow people to use the Oculus Rift as an option, because that will limit their audience for any games that do have virtual reality themes to it.
Yeah.
But again, we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out, and again, they're still in the early stages, so until they're actually available on the market, we'll just have to make assumptions until then.
Yeah, exactly.
So, shall we move on to the main topic for tonight's episode?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so I was a bit going to have a good consideration what to actually talk about, but then when I was in a lesson on the other day at work, the students were having a debate with each other. One side was like, why video games are good, and then the other side was why video games are bad. So a little bit of contrast about the sort of things we've talked about on here before, such as violence in video games and how it triggers the mind. I mean, we've talked about that sort of stuff before, but the main thing I wanted to mainly focus on was a very valid point one of the students actually raised, and that was about games that tailored towards those with disability, whether it's physical or mental disability that they might have.
Right.
So I just thought that'd be interesting to talk about. So think about games that do that sort of thing or are suitable for those sort of gamers, and can the industry do more? So I think that's the sort of thing we could probably talk about here. So what are your thoughts, Juan?
Oh, I mean, that's a surprise question. I would have to do some research on that, because I haven't really played any game. I mean, I'm trying to think on top of my head. I was introduced, for some reason, somehow I bumped into some kid on some webpage, and me and became friends on Skype. I haven't talked to him in a long, 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 long time now, at least 4 or 5 years now, but I eventually learned that he was blind. And how did I know he was blind? So we're just sitting here talking, and his computer is talking to him, basically reading the websites to him. I was like, what are you doing? Oh, it says I'm web browsing. I'm like, web browsing? It's like, well, why is your computer talking so fast? It's like, oh, well, I read a lot. And I was like, but why do you do that? It says, well, one, I'm blind, and so I have my thing turned up so I can read pages really fast. I'm like, you're blind? And, you know, I forgot he was blind because he was just talking, you know, and he was actually watching Ed and Eddie with me on TV, so we're both kind of live. But he introduced me to some car racing game, and there was like a whole site made for blind people with blind games for blind people. And I'm sorry, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I played one of them, and it was really weird, and it was made for blind people. You shouldn't be looking at the screen, and I was trying to play it, but, you know, I didn't know how to play it. I mean, I played it, but, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to explain. You just can't close your eyes and, you know, do it. You have to feel it. But I can't think of any games. Like, if you can give me an example.
I can think of one example. I can't remember what the game was called, but I did see it, but again, it wasn't a game we were supposed to see, because it was a friend of mine who was at school who was blind, and he had this game on a PC, so basically you had to listen to the sounds in order to get through like a maze area, and it was like a little white block on the actual screen, which I think he could see to some detail, but not greatly. So the aim was to like get through the maze without being caught, and just like using the sounds from the game to actually maneuver through the maze to get. It was something like that. Anyway, I mean, I'm sure if I looked it up, I could probably find it. But I just remember that quite a bit about, which it seemed like an interesting game idea, just like going around the level based on what you can hear.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, so even if you did have sight, wouldn't necessarily be an advantage for you to play it, because you have to use your hearing to be able to go through the maze, so...
Right.
You couldn't just, like, look on the screen and just hope, are you going the right way? In fact, it's mostly to do with the sound, which is, I think, being back on it now, that sounds like a really creative game idea, which you could probably utilize in some horror games in some way.
Okay, yeah, Colin. And, I mean, I don't consider that game, if it's made specifically like that, the whole game, yes. But God of War, I think part one, or was it part two? I can't remember. When you're in the desert, they use that. You have to kill I'm gonna call them sandwiches, but they're not sandwiches. They're like these Valkyrie things in the desert, and they go, oh! And the only way you can find them is if you have your sound turned up and you can hear it faintly in the distance. So if you go too far to the left, it's behind you now. So you have to learn how to turn around and find it by that. I mean, you can look and look all you want to, but until you hear them, you cannot find them. Trust me on that. Because I played the game twice, and I tried to cheat it. Like, I know where they're at. Like, nope, they're not in the same places every time. So, you know. But that's only a part of the game, so. But you have to understand about the echolocation, you know, type thing, where you depend on your hearing, then your vision. So.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about it, there's a cool concept, but I don't, other than the game you mentioned, and I can't really think of any games that are based on sound. I'm sure there's some games, I guess mostly horror games, that have some sort of sound thing, so you can actually tell when someone's close, or if something's close to you, just based on the sound. But yeah, that's one example I can think of. But to be honest, Should maybe done a bit more research on this beforehand, but there aren't that many games for those with like physical disabilities that I'm aware of. I know for those who are deaf or hard of hearing, there is the subtitles in games, so they don't necessarily have to hear what's going on in a story-heavy game. So games like Skyrim or Fallout or any
Mass Effect
or Mass Effect, yeah, you don't have to. You use a hit here, and you can actually use subtitles to understand what's being said and what's going on.
Yeah, a deaf person wrote in. My sister's deaf, but a deaf person wrote in saying, "Hey, you need to put better subtitles on the game because I can't. You couldn't read some of the scenes because they had. If you play part one, there are some scenes where there is no captions, and you're like, okay, because I used to turn my captions on sometimes just because they're there. Because sometimes, for some reason, I'm not listening. I'm just reading." You know, so, and people like, well, why you got your captions on the TV? It's like, because I like to read it. Sometimes I'll hit the mute button, and I'll just turn and, you know, read it really quick, and then continue doing what I'm doing. I know it's weird, but yeah, the captions on games, for people who don't hear, they need that so they can know what's going on.
Yeah, because recently I've been playing this, which I'll mention the games I've been playing recently a bit later, but subtitles on what's going around, so what the characters are doing or noises they're making, as well what noises around them. So that's another feature of the subtitles. So I know some deaf people, and they play games a lot. But any games that don't have subtitles or have a lot of use of sounds when you can't really use. Use the hearing to play the game. Obviously, it limits what they can do, but I mean, for the most part, and they can play most games. No problem. Especially ones that don't really need you to listen to play the game, or get games which has subtitles in. But so yeah, that's one thing in most games that is available. So I think those who can't use their limbs correctly, or they don't have certain uses of their arms or hands. I mean, there's quite a few gamers. I think there's a couple on YouTube actually that's are able to you still play the games, even though I think one hasn't got thumbs, so can only use the rest of their hands, so they have to use the mouth and tongue as well to actually play the game. And I know there's definitely one who doesn't have use of the hands, so actually plays with their feet using the controller. Yeah, I'm sure we might mention it before, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head. That's going to bug me a little bit, but I mean, just the way some gamers actually get around the difficulties that some games might have for those who can't play the games because of a physical disability is sometimes quite amazing to see. Let's see, if I can look it up on Google quickly.
What are you looking for?
I'm just looking for the guy who actually plays the games with feet. His feet.
A guy who plays the game with his feet, or there's a guy who plays the game with his tongue? Because there's like two or three people. Like one of the top Street Fighter people, he actually has a few birth defects. So he uses his tongue to input all the moves, and I didn't believe it. Actually, they did like little short stories on him. I'm sorry, I can't call his name right now, but it was just amazing. It's just amazing, you know, and how he got into video games was like really, you know, I mean that's what video games are for. They equalize it for everybody, you know. Granted, he's not using his hands; he's using his tongue. You know, and I was like, really? That's just so amazing. I mean, to see him at first, when you hear it, you're like, whatever, he can't play that well. And when you see him play, you sweat like, wow, he can't be doing that. It's like, wow. That's all you can say is wow. And like, you know, it's like great. I did a little thing for him on my site a while ago, but that's been like what, 3, 4, 5 years ago now. So,
yeah. Just trying to see if we can fight. It's on YouTube, and I know that much. The guy can actually play with his feet because he doesn't have proper use of his cannot use his hands to play the games. But somewhere on YouTube. I mean, it's going to bug me till I find out who it is.
Yeah, the guy I'm talking about is Broly. I'm sorry, Broly. That's the guy I'm talking about. I'll paste it in your group in the Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, a lot of them, coming on to their control-wise, I mean, games that use certain motion sensors, such as the Wii or maybe, like, the Kinect or something, I mean, for those who might not be able to have a full usage of all the limbs or particular parts of their body, then it is possible it can limit the experience. I mean, again, whether that's a major issue or not is really depends on the type of gamer you are or the type of person you are, but... Yeah, but whether there needs to be more awareness towards those with physical disability, do you think that's something that should be considered in the gaming industry one, or do you think because of the small minority who actually have who do play games with it?
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, yeah, and there are gamers that are blind, there are gamers that are deaf, there's a lot of gamers that have disabilities, whether it be a war veteran who has legs blown off, or his arm blown off, or has his head blown off. Video games can be used for remediation, you know, to help them, you know, I mean, it even helps older people. I wish I could find an article where, I mean, I'm going a little bit off subject with this, but one gentleman, I had to cry at his posting of why he loves Abe's Odyssey. I'm like, why would anybody, I mean, don't get me wrong, the game is a great game, but when he lost his wife, he just gave up on life altogether, and he had, his son had left his console or something like that, and he just put the game in, you know, because he's a curious fellow, he says. He just put the game in, he started playing it, and next thing he knows, everything that he was crying about just went away. I mean, it took a while for it to fully go away, but he just got lost in the game. And it was just, wow, really? That, I mean, that much to you? But yeah, I would think, yes, they should make games. I'm not going to say mainstream games. This should be something more like, I don't even know how to say it, because now we have DLC. So putting something there for a person to be able to put on, like, I don't know, a deaf person playing in surround sound, you know, I would say that. But with all these little small games, why not? I mean, I'm not going to say dedicate the time to a AAA title because that is a small minority, but the minority is there, and the pool is there for them to play the games, you know. So, you know, I would say, you know, incorporate that into some games, you know, make a smaller game. I would say, I mean, don't cheapen them with just Mario Party-type games, but, you know, give us a Resident Evil where, you know, it is, you have to, I mean, make an actual version for us. So people, I mean, I already talked about this a long time ago, because like my sister, she plays nothing but puzzle games. She can't hear, but she can see the screen, and she can tell what to do by looking at the screen. You know, she doesn't need sounds and buzzers, you know, too much, because she knows, hey, if I do this, this is what happens. The timer goes out, I know what happens, you know. But a game like Resident Evil, you know, she wouldn't know, you know, something's behind her until it hits her or something like that, you know. But it would be nice if they made a version of Resident Evil for blind people where, you know, you have the sound and, you know, you can walk past stuff and they'll say, to the left, there's a clock. Because we used to rent when I worked at Blockbuster Video. We had, this is way back in 99, 2000, we had videos for blind people. And I was like, what the heck is a video for blind people? So I rented one for myself to see it, and it's a totally different experience. I mean, it's really neat. I mean, I like it because sometimes I'm not watching the TV, and it tells you what's happening on the screen. And it's kind of weird, but awesome, if you can say it like that. Me, I didn't mind. I watched like two or three movies like that, but we only had like four movies, so, you know. But I think they should do something, you know, on a small scale. And then, you know, once it picks up and it's viable, then, you know, make more AAA titles, you know. Because, I mean, like, how would you implement something like that for, I'll say, a blind person to be able to play Assassin's Creed? You would have to water that thing down big time because, you know, there's a ledge to the right. Jump. Or jump, you know.
Yeah, I mean, things like that might be really difficult for those with visual impairments or those who are blind. But I think stuff can be done for those maybe with colour blindness or those who have colour vision deficiency. I think that's the official name for it.
Yeah, colour blind.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, people see different colours. I mean, I did a report of this for when I was at college a while ago, so I'm just going to see if I can find that quickly to see what it says on color blindness. Should have it somewhere.
They do have games like that. Xbox One and the Xbox 360 has games like that for settings for colorblind people. Not every game has it.
Just coming onto it now. Oh, is it just opening the file up? Yeah, but yeah. I mean, obviously, there's so much can be done. I mean, depend on the severity of the blindness or the deafness. It can depend on the sort of games you can play. Which is unfortunate for those who might want to play a visually heavy game where you haven't got much visibility, or someone who can't hear very well, but the game relies a lot on sound. So again it's one of those. I mean, it's difficult to allocate for both types of gamers. I mean, it's something that can be done, but it really depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just found it here. So, colour blindness, correctly named colour vision deficiency, as true colour blindness is very rare. Affects approximately 1 in 12 men and 1 in 100 women in the UK. This is 2010 reports that I got this from.
Uh-huh.
And it's saying there's three main types of colour vision deficiency. Red and green deficiency, blue and yellow deficiency, and also total colour blindness and not being able to see any colours whatsoever. So it might not be something that affects many people, if at all, but again, if it's a game that's colour heavy, or has a lot of emphasis on colour in the game, maybe like a puzzle game or something that uses a lot of colours, then if you need to match certain colours up it can be difficult. But I'm sure there's ways they can play, like being able to identify a different like shade or the type of colour it is, and match it up to as accurate as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know how much of that is actually focus on in games. I'm sure there's some focus on colour blindness. And also, I think there's a website actually that's a vision simulator which allows web. I know this might be going off topic a little bit, but a vision simulator allows web designers to develop a website to allow those with colour deficiency to see and read information on the site. So depending on what your colour scheme is, it'll show you what percentage of people can actually read it based on their vision.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, I've got the website still, I'm just going to quickly look. Yeah, I'll send it across, it might interest you one.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's the main sort of types of physical impairments, also those with epilepsy, but then again, that's for those with flashing lights, the games with flashing lights or flashing images can often limit what the gamers can play because of that.
Uh-huh.
But again, I don't think it affects a huge minority of people, but again, I think it's something that a lot of game designers should take into consideration when producing games, like how many people would be affected if we have lots of flashing lights to the game, or how many people who suffer from visual impairments or suffer from hard of hearing or however it is. So I think that's something important that should be considered when making the game. I wouldn't say it's not a thing they have to consider, but I think for those gamers who are missing out, it would help them quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, the website still works, so I'll just send that across to you. There we go. So, yeah, it's a handy little website, so it just shows you what sort of colour schemes can work and how users with colour blindness or colour vision deficiency can actually see the page, so you can see how much it'll affect it if you do a certain colour scheme and if you'll still be able to read it.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, those are the main physical disabilities that I can think of off the top of my head. There might be other examples, but that's like sort of genuine.
Uh-huh.
There's more like the mental side of the disabilities, or those more emotional needs. It depends on person to person, it depends on the type of person, whether it's like whether you suffer with autism or whether it's any other kind of disability, ADHD, or I mean, there's loads of different examples I can go on about, but a lot of games would probably suit to those who do have difficulty maybe learning skills they need to learn for life or for communicating with others.
Right.
But from what I remember, there are games or games that have been designed specifically for those with mental or emotional needs that other people would have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you know what they're trying to say, Warren? I don't know how much sense I'm making at the minute, but...
Well, you know, they can make all kind of games now, right now, and dealing with the senses, of course, but keep in mind, like I was saying, it's going to be for the mainstream, and, you know, just keep the game small. But it would be nice if they would do something like that.
Yeah, just looking it up here, so... Parents of... I mean, obviously it depends from person's personal needs and the needs they have to grow up, but I think overall a lot of games do allocate as best they can in a lot of cases to actually allocate provide get gamers what they need to be able to play regardless of what their ability or disability is.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the blindness thing, that's going to be an issue because how do you make a game allow them to be able to play it? Like, I've seen blind people play Mortal Kombat. I've seen a guy play it, and I was like, no way. Even the kid I was talking to, it's like, yeah, I play Mortal Kombat. I was like, no, you don't. Like, yeah, I do. And he put the game in and he started playing, and I'm like, wow, you know, so there is possible, you know, a person determined to do that, but like I was saying, the companies, you have to look at the aspects of the companies putting that money and time in, you know, it's a minority of people, so they're not going to really concentrate on that much. Do I want them to? Oh, yes, I believe in games for everybody, you know?
Yeah, exactly, I mean, it helps early on to use games, whether they're educational, whether they're like to help with, whatever the needs might be, can help to play certain games early on to like get the skills and need to actually do things which they might not be able to do otherwise or might have difficulty doing.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but again, there's loads of examples we probably go on about, but it's just like a bit really big open subject about how much game designers, game developers should put into games to allocate, make them freely available to as many people as possible without like limiting an audience based on what their needs are.
Yeah.
But one story I can think of is I think the people make Call of Duty, Activision. I mean, we give them a lot of grief for doing a copy and paste job all the time. But one thing I've heard recently, I think one of the most recent. Get games, Black Ops 2, I think. I think for every game they've sold, they've actually given money to veterans from war who've had serious injury or emotional damage during the war. So, so much we've got to praise them for doing a little thing to help those who've actually been fighting to make a better world. And to basically make the soldiers' lives easier after they come back from war, whether it's to do with deep depression or whether they got a serious injury while on duty or while on patrol. I mean, whether that's something else game designers can do or game companies can do to actually allow that others to benefit from games, but that's just one example to think of. I'm sure there's other game developers and game companies actually do that sort of thing, but it's difficult to think, actually. But is there any examples you can think of, one, or any other things we should mention? You sure that?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't hear you then.
Oh, no, I was just waiting for you to finish on talk about the games for disabled gamers.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's any other anything else we've missed out or anything else we should be making people aware of.
In that area, I think we really covered everything that we can kind of cover.
Yeah.
This
is a pretty deep subject. We'll probably go into this for another half hour or so, trying to discuss all the things, but...
Yeah, you need to do some research. Like, you caught me on a blind note on that one, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look anything up, because that's something that would take me at least 2 or 3 hours just to pull some stuff up and actually talk to a few blind gamers who actually are, you know, dealing with those kind of things. I talked to some veterans who they've lost part of their hands, they lost part of their feet, and, you know, they're on disability and they play games. They don't play games a lot, but they say, yeah, I play games, you know, to relax, because sometimes the only thing I can do to relax, you know. But this is a really deep topic that, you know, needed a little bit of research. So
yeah, I think the only thing to mention is those suffering depression or anxiety or something that may find it beneficial to play a game. So if they're like really not feeling themselves in the pick of a game, and they might actually become more cheerful, as you said about that story about the man who lost his wife and playing Oddsworld.
Right.
So just shows you that games can be something that's therapeutic to those who are suffering, whether it is with a disability or those who are feeling really down about something.
Yeah.
Because in a way, games are like an escape from reality, just for a little bit. I mean, whether it's a good thing or not. I mean, we can always come back to this debate about whether about addiction and stuff. But it does. I think games do help you like break the boundaries of reality, and also help to understand situations, and also help with emotions.
Uh-huh.
So if you're really, really down, you play games, like to relieve some tension or just to calm yourself down, and it can be good for you. I mean, obviously, that more research would have to be done, but overall, I think for the most part, games are positive towards those who either suffer from disabilities or those who suffer from various other illnesses or various other things that may limit what they can do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but is there anything else you'd like to add, Warren, or have you covered it?
Oh, we covered it. We more than covered it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I hope I've done this topic justice, because it does mean a fair bit to me about this sort of thing, but I hope we've done some justice on this topic, but hopefully we'll see anyway.
Oh, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so if anyone who's listening and wants to comment on that, please feel free to do so. And just let us know if we have covered it at all. If there's anything else we need to mention or cover, then we can do that, not a problem.
Yep.
Okay, so I think we'll try and go on some a little less serious or a little less... what's the word?
Casual.
Yeah, go on to something a bit more casual, so... Go on to what we've been playing this week.
Well, this week I've been playing the same old thing, Super Street Fighter 4, AE, Played that a little bit. Oh, I finished, because I was streaming God of War, Chains of Olympus. I finally finished that. I didn't know I was that close to the end, but I finally finished that. Then I went straight into Gods of War, Ghost of Sparta. Just as everybody starts showing up, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm calling it early night tonight, everybody. I'm playing that, so now I'm in the middle of that. I'm also playing Rush Frontiers on iPad, which I said last week. Today, I just installed Spore Creature Creator, so I'll be playing with that, making more creatures. I'm not sure if the server's still up or not, but I had reset my password just when this podcast kicked in, so I didn't have a chance to go back and reset it. Of course, I'm playing Animal Crossing, but I think I'm going to go ahead and call it quits on that after another month or so. My friend I was playing with, the one friend who actually got me into it, he actually sold his copy and went and got a whole, like I said, he got 3D and a Zelda 3DS with Zelda on it. And I didn't know he let go his copy of Animal Crossing New Leaf. And I was like, oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me. So I don't really want to let my copy go. I'm probably gonna switch over to Kid Icarus and beat that game, or Icarus Rising and beat that, and then go back to my other games I was playing and probably put Animal Crossing down for a few months and finish off Pushmo, because I'm enjoying that game a lot. And I think that's really it, except for I played Peggle last night, so I'm not really playing it, but I played last night with some friends and showed them that I was the true Peggle master. So, and they enjoyed it, so.
Oh, cool.
And that's all I'm playing.
Oh, good section. Honestly, I haven't been playing much again. I mean, I've been meaning to play some stuff, but been watching a bit more stuff than I've been playing, but it'll come to that in a minute. First off, I got Tomb Raider, the new one for the Xbox One.
Uh-huh.
So I've been playing a bit of that, and it's pretty good so far. So I haven't got deeply into it, but the survival aspect, you know, so wandering around this island is quite cool. So just a bit exploring and then hunting using the bow and arrows. So it's got some good elements in it, but. And also like hidden little bits as well, so bits of treasure or clues as to what this island is. So as far as I'm aware, it is an open world game, but I think it opens up the more items you collect and the further you explore. So it's good so far, but I haven't played too much, so I'll have to play a bit more during this week if I can.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and also on the iPhone, I've been playing a bit of Star Wars Angry Birds 2. So playing updated that, so you've got little things to collect, so little points you use to unlock characters or use characters in particular levels that are difficult. You can actually collect some coins in the levels, so that's pretty handy. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I managed to collect about roughly 400 so far in most levels.
Oh wow!
Yep. So, yeah, still been trying to collect the coins and give me a reason to play it again, so I can collect coins, so I can unlock a couple more characters, without having to resort to in-app purchases.
Uh huh.
And so I've also been playing a bit of a few Game Boy games. So I've been playing Rockman World 4. So it's basically Mega Man World 4. Mega Man 4 for the Game Boy, but it's a Japanese version.
Uh-huh.
So I've been playing a bit of that, which is fun, but difficult.
Okay.
Which is natural. Mega Man games are known to be tough, so I can't really expect anything else of it.
Alright.
And trying to think, what else? Any other games? A bit more the Street Pass games. Playing a few of those, and some get again pretty difficult, and some just take time to play. But the game, surprisingly, I'm spending the most time on is the garden game. It's just so easy to play that one. Where the other games, you do need a certain number of characters to do something, or a particular way of progressing for the game. Because with the conquest one, we take over the world. You have to wait. You have to build up your army to a certain amount in order to stand a chance against the enemy. Enemy country you're trying to take over. So that one's so it's still fun. It's basically rock, paper, scissors type gameplay for that. Also the RPG one with the ghost mansion or the I think it's just called mansion. I'm not sure, but that's where you basically unlock uncover rooms using music collected to collect pieces and to discover what's on each floor.
Uh-huh.
Yep, so, I mean, nothing too difficult about that, but, again, it can be time-consuming, also take a while for you to get a me with the right piece to fit in, because it's sort of like Tetris in a way, you have to fit it in certain pieces in to expand rooms or to uncover new rooms, or basically uncover the staircase to get from one floor to the next.
Uh-huh.
And the other game is the shoot 'em up one, which is pretty fun, but it can get frustrating to like get all the requirements because they collect 5 gems in each level. There's or in each stage. There's also get high enough score. So there's like a minimum score. So if you get to that score, you'll get the little thing to say you've got it, and also. Keep all the Mii pods intact, so all the Mii's you collect to the users power-ups in the game, so if you get hit, you'll lose one of them, but if you don't get hit throughout the level, then you'll be able to...
Okay.
Basically, there's a fair bit to complete with that, so it is quite challenging, but it is fun to play, but... The Garden one, I say it's the simplest, but it's one I spend most time on. Not because it's a great game, but just because it's just like simple. Gather up the Mii's and Street Pass, and then each one of them will give your plants a bit of water, and it grows. And then you basically collect all different types of flowers, and you get new breeds and different colours to collect. So there's some strategy to it, but. Overall, not too bad for Street Pass games, but that's the main thing I've been playing with 3DS. But since I haven't been playing too much of Animal Crossing recently, because not for any real reason, just haven't really got around to playing much of Animal Crossing, because I've built a new bridge and that's about it. So that's the last thing I remember doing. But apart from that, bit more Tetris. Tried to complete level 9, but that's difficult because how quickly the pieces come down, and you have to fit them in the right place. So I'm not sure what the requirements are to complete level 9 in Tetris. But
what console?
Game Boy.
I already told you what happens. You get the dancing and then the space shuttle. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know what region you're from, but the U.S. version. You get the dancing, I have it. It's like right here. I have it, and if you're streaming video, I'll be able to show it to you. Let's see, resume. And this is it. And I'm just gonna... hold on for a second. Go. Load. Yes. And there we go. And then it's gonna go ahead and do it right here. That, right there.
Oh, yeah.
You beat on level 9, high 5. And it took me about 4 days to get back to this part. It was hard, though, but I finally got it. I mean, what, 2 decades later, when I saw this, and I was in, I think, 9th grade, or 10th grade. I can't remember if it was 9th grade. I think it was 9th grade, actually, but it could have been 10th grade. And I was in my Spanish class. And when I got it, I was, like, so quiet. And everybody was like, what's wrong with you, Warren? And I didn't say nothing. I was, like, so amazed when I saw this. I mean, you know, I now have the space shuttle taking off in my pocket. I don't have to look at another space shuttle launch ever again. I can see it right here in my pocket, being a stupid child, kid, teenager. But it's awesome when you beat it.
Yeah, do you know any lines you need to get in level 9 to complete it? Because I got up to 13, but that's as far as I'm being able to, or highest I'm being able to get.
13? Wow. Mine says I did 12 singles, 2 doubles, I mean 7 doubles, and that's it. So 18, I mean, I'm sorry, yeah, 19, I'm sorry, 19.
Okay, so you need at least 19 lines?
Yeah, 19 lines. Yeah, I had 6 drops, whatever that means.
Okay, so I need to try and get another 6 if I can.
Yeah, I want to record it while I'm doing it so I can catch it, you know, but I saved the game right at the ending. I'm like, oh, man, I should have saved it right before that last block. But, oh, well. But I can now see this anytime I want to up front. So it's awesome. I love it. I haven't played Tetris since I've only played, like, once or twice since I've beaten it, so... But yeah, the Game Boy version of Tetris, I've played that game. I'll probably put in about a good 200 hours, maybe. Maybe. That was back in the day. You know, because that's the only game you got with it, and that's the only game you played with it. And there's so many Game Boy games that Nintendo can bring out, and they're making me kind of angry now that they're not doing what I thought they were going to do. One thing, they had a plan. They didn't have a plan at all.
Because the thing with the eShop is just release some virtual games every now and then.
Yeah, they need to release games at 4 games a month is what they need to do, if they don't get them all done.
Yeah, you know, a game a week should be easy enough to do, because they've got a massive library, so...
Yeah, I mean, they don't have... Okay, for Christmas, having about, I'll say, 50% of every library from from old Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, and possibly GameCube. We can say this to skip the GameCube. This is the Super Nintendo, old Nintendo, and N64. This say, though, in Game Boy games. Get me 50% of their libraries up and ready to download, and I'm happy. Which I thought they were going to do, but I guess they didn't get the point when I kept asking, are we going to get Gargoyle's Quest? Are we going to get Gargoyle's Quest? And they released that game, Gargoyle's Quest, and that was it. Boop, I'm done. Yep. That's the only game I really wanted. But I got Lock and Chase, and I finally beat that again. But there's so many games, you know, it's just, this takes me back. I want Bugs Bunny. So, but I might end up getting a Game Boy like you, you know.
Yeah, I've been playing it. Well, I've played it on the original, but obviously I've been playing it on the Game Boy Advance SP. That's which I think's probably the best version. I think the only thing is the possible cramp you can get in your hands from the way you hold Game Boy Advance SP. But if you get a little docking controller add-on for it, then you can that would be less of an issue, I think. But yeah, but apart from that, that's really been all of playing. So shall we go on to what we've been watching?
Yep, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead. You go first.
Okay. Well, I watched the final episode of The Walking Dead season 4. So
yay,
really good. But I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched it. So this definitely leaves some questions that need to be answered, and what's going to happen in season 5, and how is it going to go on from here. But
I'm back in love it, Rick. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, so we watched that. So it was a good way to end, and good way to set up for the next series or season.
Yep. Yep.
So, mm-hmm. So I imagine the next season will be released later this year.
I don't know. Yeah, it is October.
Yeah. So we've got a few months to wait, but not too long. But I've finally caught up and up to date with The Walking Dead, so...
Yeah.
And what else have we been watching? I've also watched Gogglebox, that's that program where you... other people watching TV programs, and you just see the reactions to all the programs, what's being said on the TV, what's happening. Which is still pretty fun to watch, so... Enjoy watching that. Another program I wanted to watch was Off Their Rockers, which is a TV series I talked about before, which has come back. Which, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a comedy program where a bunch of old people or senior citizens go around and cause havoc or make basically pull pranks on different young people not expecting it.
Right.
Which is really good, but I've yet to watch that, because I did try and watch it just before the podcast, but wasn't able to get it on, so that's something I'll have to watch in a bit.
Uh-huh.
And trying to think what else. Mine's gone blank here a little bit, but I'm sure there's something else I've been watching. I meant to say, I've already completed Sherlock. Mostly YouTube videos is the same. Most have been watching a bit of the Video Game Years.
Video Game Years, what is that?
It's by Retroware TV, so it's, many different online personalities worked on it. Pat the NES Punk, The Game Chasers, Gaming Historian, and also I think Jew Warrior also did some work on a few of the episodes. Because I got the DVD after, backed it on Indiegogo, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we watched a bit of that. So that's a fun little documentary on the video game, on the years of video games from 77 to 79. So you should be able to watch it online. So it's I'd definitely recommend checking it out.
Okay.
And so anything else? There probably is, but I can't think of it at the moment. But that's pretty much all I've been watching, really. So what about you, Juan?
Well, I'm still watching Star Wars Clone Wars. Very good series. Need to watch it if you haven't watched it yet. So, of course, I'm watching Walking Dead. We just finished off the last episode of this season, which ended really great. I don't want to give any spoilers, but I screamed a little bit when I realized when he goes, Where'd you get such and such? Where'd you get such and such? Where'd you get such and such? And then it dawned on me, and I'm like doing the thing Touch Me. That movie. I'm sorry, my brain just went fart because I got all upset. What's the name of the movie? Rocky Horror Picture Show. What he did? Dr. Scott! Brad! Janet! And I'm like, Glenn! Beth! Maggie! And I'm just having a big fit online because I'm like, oh my gosh, what? No! You know, so, but I knew something was up. I'm not giving away anything, but I'm like saying that person sitting there in the warehouse, I'm like, oh, that was my dust, something like that, is when something's up. And I didn't connect it until we went to outside. And that's when I was like, And then my friends are screaming, you see all that stuff on the ground? And I'm like, oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding me. Glenn, Maggie! And, well, yeah. And not to give away any more of it, but the scene where they're with Rick and the others, I'm gonna say it like that.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say the neck. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I saw that, yeah.
That's when I was like, I love, because at first I was like saying, I don't care. I mean, I don't mean to sound bad, but let Rick go ahead and do whatever you gotta do. But then when that happened, I was like, okay, Rick is number one again. Yeah. So, but yeah, that scene scared me a little bit too, because
yeah.
I don't want to ruin anything. I'm not saying any more than that. But it was awesome. I had friends who didn't like it. Oh my gosh, now they finally get good. Now they cut it all. Like, no. It was to me, it was good. I did not like how they did the ending part. Like when they call people names, I'm not gonna say anything because that's a good part of it, you know. Yeah. And because we like what they call them that, like yeah. But it was good. I enjoyed it. I've been looking up some parodies and stuff. I'll probably paste one for you. I found a good parody. It's really good, but it has a few cuss words in it and a little bit of like racist words, whatever, blah blah blah. But it's still good though, because it picks at the movie just fine. Other things I've been watching. I watched a movie called Contracted. I don't know if you've seen the trailer. It's with a girl who's supposedly lesbian and. For some reason at a party, she went and had sex with a guy, contracted some kind of crazy disease. I don't want to ruin it, even though I ruined it on my Facebook, so I can save people time to don't watch this dumb movie. It has a great trailer. It has a great plot and everything, but the end of the movie is stupid. So, you know, great plot, but worst ending ever, which ruins the whole movie and waste of time. But I watched that, and outside of that, I honestly, I didn't watch Helix last week because I was streaming, and I fell asleep in the middle of my own stream. So I was like, I can't watch anymore anything. I finished the stream up. Everybody said, sorry, everybody, we're cutting it short tonight, 30 minutes. And that was that. And I'm trying to think. I watched Shrek last night because one of my friends, Shanna, she loves Shrek a lot. So I was ripping a few scenes off for her so I can put my own words to them for her. Not sure when I'm going to do that. And I think that's it. I watched something called Wrestling Slam Masters on 3DS. It's on YouTube. I watched that. It's pretty funny. It's a claymation, I think. 3D claymation or something like that. But, that's it, really.
Sounds good, yeah. Mm-hmm. So on to highlights of the week. So, anything good happen, Warren, or anything you want to talk about?
Anything good? Anything? I'm trying to think. Something good did happen, but I'm sorry. Is this it? Well, I mean, if I'm going to say anything good, my friend Rob, he's a friend on Facebook, he got a job finally. I'll say that. That's good for him. You know, it's great. That's probably going to be my highlight for that. I mean, besides John Gamester, he just got 8,000. I mean, that's not really a highlight. I mean, for him, it's a highlight because he got 8,000 subscribers for his other channel for Jedi, for Star Wars. I don't know. No, I really don't have anything. I don't really have any real highlights myself. Not no real ones.
Okay, cool. Well, well done to Rob.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, not much has happened this week, but main highlight for them this week was I went to car boot sale, which is equivalent to a flea market. And then had a look around. It was one that's close by, so I didn't have to travel very far to get to it. The downside is there wasn't much there because there's only a few cars there selling stuff. But I did pick up a couple of things. I picked up a Logic-free GameCube controller, which has got a little bit of wear and tear on it, but nothing too major. On it, and also picked up a copy for the Xbox 360, Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper. Which I think's a recent game, but it's not one I've heard of, and I looked it up, and it's Amazon's still selling it new for about £15, which is about $20-25, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And total pickups for both of them were £3.50, about $5 or so.
Okay.
So not a bad find, considering there's a modern game and also a decent controller.
Okay.
But the only other stuff there was mostly like common PS2 games and a few other PS3 games, mostly common ones, but wasn't anything too rare or too appealing to me. I mean, there's loads of DVDs for sale, a few CD tracks, and also other little bits and bobs for sale. The only thing I noticed was a PS2 console, but that sold pretty quickly, I think. But I'd say that's my highlight. Just get going and picking up a couple bits from a car boot sale. So yeah, I'd say that's my highlight of the week.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, also, just a brief mention, also, but a little bit on the Grand National, you know, the horse race.
Alright.
And the horse I bet on each way came third, so I managed to get my money back, plus a little bit extra.
Oh, wow.
A tiny bit extra. I'm talking about like £1.25, which is... About $2, but... yeah, I can't complain. Second year running, I've actually got my money back after putting the bet on.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's not something I do very often, but it's only like once a year sort of thing, so. But, yeah, I'd say the main highlight was the car boot sale, though, but, yeah, it's been a pretty okay week, so, yeah, can't complain.
Yeah.
Yep, so, anything else you want to mention, Warren?
Oh, No, I'm trying to think. I know I have something, but I can't think of it right now. No, I'm about to say no, except for Ouya. Check out Ouya. Make sure you look up and go Google Ouya. Look up the games they have out. So,
yeah. I think that's something that we'll be looking to get at some point. I'll definitely keep an eye out for it. But been a good episode one.
Oh yeah, it's pretty decent. But you know, with something like the blind thing, you know, or disabled people games, yeah, we need to do some research before I actually start talking about it, because that's a very deep subject. And they have so much technology out there now for the disabled, you know, not just deaf and not just blind, but you know, people who don't have they got some of their digits chopped off, or they got parts of their body missing, you know. So, but yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something. If we just talk about anything like this again, we'll have to do some research beforehand, so we've got some more to talk about. But hopefully we've done some good coverage on like the general area of this topic, because it can get quite deep. So hope everyone listening enjoyed it, and any suggestions of what else we can talk about relating to that or something along those lines, let us know, and we'll see what we can do.
Sounds good.
Okay, so thanks, Ron, as always, for being on.
Thank you very much for inviting me. You're welcome.
No problem. Hopefully, next time we'll have Gaz on. And just a quick reminder, we probably won't be doing the podcast next week, but we'll see if we do it another day or not. But as of now, is when we podcast next week. But we'll be back soon enough anyway. So thank you very much for listening. And until next time, we will see you later. Take care and good night.
Adios.
A little bit. Bye-bye.